fantasy meets reality to create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy Football Friday, back here with you in the final hour of this Friday show and every Friday show. On Friday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, typically, we got going here and played back an interview with Dino Babers a couple times for somebody that had come in, wanted to listen into it. And that's what we like to do. You know, I know that fans, you're busy, you're all over the place. You got things going on. You want to hear what Babers has to say. So was happy to play that back. And I thank you for your continued listenership and the support of the call crew is amazing. So I thank you for that. So in the second hour of, or pardon me, in the third hour of today's show and the third hour of every Friday show from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, inside that hour, you hear Fantasy Football Friday, which is fantasy football coverage of every single upcoming game. We discuss the Thursday night game, and then we give you advice on all the Sunday games and Monday night football and take care of you. And when I say we, I mean myself and Mike Sofko, who I'm happy to have here with me, as always, from Central New York to Central Florida. And in 2 days, I will be down there covering the Jacksonville Jaguars, so I'll be back in the state of Florida, and I'll be happy to be there for the Houston Texans game, which we'll discuss. Mike, how you doing today?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And Mike, first and foremost, I was in the bar yesterday for Woody's Jerkwater Pub. We do live trivia every Thursday at 7 p.m. And so, of course, Thursday Night Football is on. The Browns are playing the Ravens. And right before I left, I had somebody, I was telling Mike this off the air, nudge me on my shoulder, and they go, hey, Dan, 7-3 Browns. And I went, yeah, it was 22-0 Browns, and they lost 25-22 to the Baltimore Ravens earlier this season, so I fully expect them to blow this lead. Well, I left the bar when it was 7-3 Browns, and then I looked at the score, and it was 28-7 Baltimore. So after leading 7-3, the Cleveland Browns never scored again in the rest of the game, and they gave up. That means at that point, they gave up 25 unanswered points to a team that's 0-10 and always finds a way to lose. So I was not surprised, nor am I surprised this morning that I'm sitting here looking at this score. Mike, Cleveland Browns, fantasy football-wise, is there anyone, in your opinion, worth playing? Their quarterback, Cody Kessler, had 91 yards passing and a touchdown. Josh McCown had two interceptions, no touchdowns. Isaiah Crowell, who has been that guy that you can't trust as an every week starter, was 9 carries for 23 yards. Terrell Pryor Sr., who is the only guy I would venture to say to play, was 5 catches for 48 yards. And Gary Barnage, who was strong last year with McCown in there, is 1 catch, 8 yards in this game, no touchdown. So is there anyone on Cleveland that gives any fantasy owner any hope moving forward?
Well, yeah, there are a couple receivers there, of course. Terrell Pryor, and coming back from the broken hand injury is Corey Coleman. So either one of those guys, Cleveland's going to have to throw the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. And these guys are both capable of making plays and busting one loose at any time. Pryor's had a slow start, but he's been coming on really strong lately. I know they've got a revolving door quarterback there. Even in last night's game, it wasn't due to injury, and I didn't understand why they were changing quarterbacks. But I guess they were just trying to get something going, make something happen. It's pitiful. They look bad. They got a bunch of draft picks. They've had a bunch of draft picks. They got some new guys in there that are supposedly using the old baseball analytics to, you know, turn this thing around, and they're stacking up some draft picks. They did just get that shrewd move with Collins from New England. I know it was more of New England wanting to send him somewhere that doesn't win to show him the difference, to teach him a lesson. But at the same time, Cleveland's just a train wreck right now, and if I was playing any Survivor games or if I was betting on one sure thing to save my life each week, it would be against Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, and when I look at, you know, if anybody's going up against any games, obviously, yeah, that's the one that you're safe with pretty much. If there is a safe bet, it's betting against Cleveland, if there is one out there right now. So, you know, obviously, Terrell Pryor, Corey Coleman had some good moments in his early moments of his career as a rookie this season. he took a little while to come on, a little bit longer than I wanted. But when he did, he started to really feel good fantasy football-wise. So 3 catches, 17 yards. They got to figure things out in Cleveland. They haven't since 1999. Kelly Holcomb was their best chance in a mud-filled game against the Pittsburgh Steelers where they had an opportunity to make the playoffs, and they did not. But besides that, since 1999, it's been ugly. Bashad Perriman, though, 3 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown. Steve Smith Sr., he's back. He had a touchdown in the game. Mike Wallace did not have a touchdown in this game, which was surprising because Mike Wallace is usually Joe Flacco's guy. Terrence West was relatively quiet on the ground, 65 yards, and Joe Flacco threw 2 interceptions. So anything about Baltimore, Bashad Perriman, I think, you know, Mike, you and I both knowing the city of Orlando, Bashad Perriman played at Central Florida. He came into the NFL last season as a rookie, and he had a PCL injury, which was supposed to be, you know, maybe a few months, and that was it. And this thing nagged him all the way through the season. He didn't play the whole season. Then in the preseason, he was nursing injury again, and they were worried again. And so it's taken him over a year of being in the NFL to get his first touchdown, and he gets that touchdown against the Cleveland Browns. So fantasy-wise, thoughts on Baltimore. But you and I both knowing Central Florida and Orlando, it's got to feel good for Bashad Perriman, no matter fantasy football or not, to get that touchdown.
Yeah, well, it's good to see the guy that everybody thought he would be show up, you know, and that, you know, I know it was due to injury and I know it took some time, but at the same time, you make people anxious and wonder if you're ever going to play again, you know, when you're out almost 2 full years. But this is a guy who's supposedly brought in to be that deep threat, to be what Mike Wallace has been for them at spots this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to develop because, remind you, this is still like his rookie season. These are still his first games. So even though he's been around the system for a couple of years, it's going to take a little time. But it's sort of like, it's kind of good seeing a guy who you would consider a hometown guy for a little while do something good in the NFL.
Absolutely. And to look at the matchups that are coming up this week to get into these, your fantasy football advice, pen and pad ready, PPR, standard, DraftKings, FanDuel, a league itself where you have your team like you do in the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge, proudly presented by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York, right next to Clinton Square, and where that beautiful Christmas tree is being put up and set up, and everything will be coming up very soon, hard to believe. Packers at the Titans. We're here to give you this advice, proudly brought to you by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, I definitely think Aaron Rodgers is a play. I got him as the number one quarterback this week. And if you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's been producing as of late. So this is definitely a guy you're going to play. And he's going to have to throw the ball to somebody, and somebody's going to have to run the ball in Green Bay. I know there's talks of James Starks coming back, but I think they're going to ease him back into a role. If he is available, you want to go pick him up, but don't count on him this week. Because when you win at fantasy football, you're 2 weeks ahead of everybody else. If you're 1 week ahead or less than a week ahead, like everybody else thinks they are when they're picking people up, it, you know, it's that old thing when you're a defensive back, when the wide receiver's running past you, you used to say in practice, if you're even, he's leaving. In other words, you got to be there first. You got to be the guy to make it happen. So definitely be on your game with picking up players. But Ty Montgomery's going to be the guy to get running back touches. He gets a lot of passes out of the backfield. I got him number 11 wide receiver this week, and Jordy Nelson number 9, and Randall Cobb 26 this week. I don't think there's anybody else that's really going to score any fantasy points for the Packers this week, but if you have those guys, you definitely want to start them. They should put up some points against the Titans. Marcus Mariota is going to have to come back and rebound from those points, so he's going to be throwing But they got a good running attack with DeMarco Murray. Not sure if Derrick Henry's going to play. He's still banged up. But DeMarco Murray, I got definitely a running back one this week, even hobbling that toe injury. They're going to try to throw the ball a little bit, but the guy they're going to throw the ball a little bit to is Delonte Walker. He's definitely the tight end of choice in the whole game here. So if you have Delonte Walker, he's definitely a guy you want to play. I don't really see anything from the receivers in this game on the Tennessee side. I mean, it's possible
for receiving wise, Rishard Matthews, Kendall Wright.
Yeah, Kendall Wright, Tajay I don't see any of those guys doing anything productive in this game. Although it should be somewhat of a score fest, I think it's going to be all on Green Bay side.
Yeah, for Green Bay at Tennessee, in my opinion, I feel like this is a, you know, a Green Bay home game that's being played on the road, so to speak. And I mean that for fantasy owners, because you should be playing Aaron Rodgers. Ty Montgomery in his first, like, full go out there and do your thing, young man. You know, he had a pretty good game, so receiving and running the ball. So Ty Montgomery, I put him out there. He's a good pickup if he's still out there. Like Mike said, you got to be 2 weeks ahead. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people went out and got him already. Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams has helped me out in a big way. He's been able to find his way to the end zone, sniff that out from week to week pretty much as of late. Randall Cobb. So I like all those. I like all those guys to put out there for the Green Bay Packers. For the Tennessee Titans, you know, we got to look. We have to look at the injury report, because Derrick Henry, running back, strained calf, did not practice on Thursday. And DeMarco Murray with a toe injury returned to a limited practice Thursday. So you got to make sure that you watch, and you can watch that injury report very easily by going to wakeupcalldt.com and going to the fantasy football tab and clicking on Dr. Tim Whiting injury report. Dr. Tim Whiting is the chiropractor in Central New York, and he probably provides the injury report every single week, and that is updated as we go. So make sure you check that out, especially right before the game. For Derrick Henry, who I think is coming on a little bit, and, you know, DeMarco Murray, who's been a really big part of the offense. Those are my two guys that I like as far as, you know, my opinion goes for Tennessee. Marcus Mariota, not a bad quarterback to have out there, but I wouldn't play him in this game, so I'm kind of shying away from him for this one. And that's my look at these. And to make note of the injuries as well for Green Bay, really, really quick here, to make note of where they're at in their injury report. We have Jared Cook, ankle injury, limited Wednesday, their tight end. Randall Cobb, hamstring, was limited Wednesday. James Starks was limited Wednesday with his knee injury. But I do side with Green Bay in having the majority of their players out there for this one. And if the running backs are a go, DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, not bad plays. DeMarco better than Derrick, and you know the drill if you've been paying attention to fantasy football. Vikings at Redskins, Mike, what do you think about this one?
Well, the Vikings are a mess, and it's their offensive line. They're not running a ball, and they're having to pass the ball. And, you know, you didn't bring Sam Bradford in to make him throw the ball 60 times. You brought him in to manage the game, get things moving like they were able to do the first five or six games. But if you look back at it, it was their defense that was winning those games. The offense was sputtering along. The defense was almost outscoring the offense. So with that in mind, I don't think very many Vikings are plays this week, all very low-end desperation plays, with the exception of maybe Kyle Rudolph at 11 for a tight end. He might be a, you know, a guy that might pick up an end zone grab here. And then Stephon Diggs, they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. Stephon Diggs is the guy. If you're in a touchdown-only league or a league where you don't need a lot of yardage, Asiata may be the guy because he seems to get the red zone touches. And Washington likes to give up scores to running backs in the red zone. On the other side of the ball with the Redskins, Rob Kelly looks like he's taken over for Matt Jones, who's had the fumbling problem. And I think Matt Jones is going to have to fight his way back. Even Chris Thompson I have ranked above him, because Chris Thompson's going to be that third down guy. But Rob Kelly's the face moving forward. It's still going to be ugly. It's still going to be a committee. But if you have to choose, Rob Kelly's the guy to go with. And, of course, when you have Reed as your tight end, this is a guy who's like an extra receiver out there. DeSean Jackson's dinged up a little bit. Crowder's going to be a guy that you're going to want a desperation play as a wide receiver there. But the biggest play of the game here, I think, is going to be the tight ends, Kyle Rudolph and Jordan Reed.
Yeah, when we look at this game, DeSean Jackson is doubtful for the game. So, you know, people don't have to worry about him. I'm not big on him. I don't draft him from year to year because I think he's an underperformer. As far as Minnesota goes in this game, running the ball has been a lot of committee. I don't like anybody on there. I know that I've spoken about Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon, give them a shot. But this is one of those games where I can't lean on anybody. Stephon Diggs, not a bad play for you in this game. Kyle Rudolph, he's up and down. He had one catch for 1 yard and a touchdown in the last game and a loss to Detroit. So if you want the touchdown, then I would say Kyle Rudolph, Stephon Diggs are really my only two plays for Minnesota. And then for Washington, I like Jamison Crowder. I like Jordan Reed. I'm not against Vernon Davis as a flex option if you can do that. But Robert Kelly, he came on and had a good game against Cincinnati. So I like Robert Kelly. It's funny because Washington, I don't buy into Matt Jones a lot. Chris Thompson, I was trying to see what he could do. But now the way I look at it, you know, Robert Kelly out of Tulane as a rookie, not, you know, shout out to the American Athletic Conference that I cover, you know, and have covered since their beginning. Robert Kelly, not a bad play for you in this one. So I like Robert Kelly, Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed, maybe Vernon Davis for Washington. I think that's the most Redskins I've ever said to play in an NFL game this season. And then for Minnesota, Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph are only those are the two guys that are worth mentioning in my opinion. Bears at Buccaneers. Lord help us all. What do you have for this one?
Well, this is going to be a better game than people think. This is going to be a game where you can rack up some fantasy points here. Both quarterbacks should perform okay. I got Jameis as a low-end QB1, high-end QB2, and I got Cutler as a QB2 this week as well. Jordan Howard's going to be the guy to watch. Jordan Howard, Alshon Jeffrey, and Zach Miller. These are going to be the playmakers. I think the Bucs' defense has been soft at times. But on the other side of the ball, Mike Evans, he's the guy. Who else are you going to throw the ball to? They're not throwing the ball to anybody else. And Doug Martin's been banged up. Every time they plug and play a running back there, he gets hurt and he's done for the year. So they're having a bit of the injury bug. But, you know, that's got to tell you something. I don't know what that tells you. But I would think maybe something with your blocking, maybe something with your offensive line. If you're losing a running back every week, you know, you're not going to be very good by the end of the year. But Peyton Barber's going to get most of the carries as they ease Doug Martin back in. I got both of those guys high-end running back threes this week or flex at the max for either one of those guys. But this should be a better fantasy points game than people realize.
Yeah, you know, I think that this fantasy points game leans on the side of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at this point. Jameis Winston, not a bad play against a terrible defense. Chicago is not anything like what they used to be, and Jameis Winston has been able to get multiple touchdowns, two or three in games this year, so I like putting him out there. Mike Evans, I mean, this could be a 200-yard receiving game for Mike Evans. So I like Mike Evans in this one. Peyton Barber, not a bad choice if you have to go to the waiver wire or you have to go to free agency and you need a running back. Cameron Brate, like this guy. Really do. I tried to pick him up last week. He was on the waiver wire. It pissed me off. It made me upset because I had to be patient, and I didn't want to be patient because they played a Thursday game. So I like Cameron Brate. I like Mike Evans, Peyton Barber, Jameis Winston for Tampa. And Barber, very, very low-end side of it, but I do like him. For Chicago, Jordan Howard, I would say maybe Alshon Jeffrey. And outside of those two guys, there's really nothing for me to tell you of those. You know, I like – you can't really bet against Alshon. Eddie Royal has a toe injury, and Jordan Howard's been pretty darn good. Again, and Tampa doesn't have a great, great defense. So there is multiple players to play here, more than I thought of going into it. So I will agree with Mike that this could be a higher-scoring game fantasy-wise than people expect. Could help you out early on. Chiefs at Panthers, what do you have for this one?
Well, there's not a lot on the offensive side for Kansas City right now. They got some quarterback woes. Foles, Smith, looks like Smith's going to be the guy again. But Spencer Ware, you know, if he's healthy, this is the guy you have to have on the field. This is the guy that's going to score the points for Kansas City. And, of course, Travis Kelce, he's a top tight end in the league. He gets a lot of looks there because, well, quite frankly, they don't have many other people to throw the ball to. Maybe a Tyreek Hill, but you know, he's not a starter for me this week. On the other side of the ball, Cam Newton's been turning it on lately, and if, you know, this is a trade week for a lot of fantasy teams, so you know, there might be some owners that overpaid for him or paid an appropriate price at the time at the draft, and now they're just disgruntled with him, even though he's starting to come back strong. So this is the time you want to buy low, so there might be a chance for you to snag Cam Newton. That's a guy that's on my target list everywhere. But with the trades coming up here in your leagues, you can always shoot me over an email at my website, hallfantasyfootball.com, and I'll answer any questions you have direct. But Kelvin Benjamin's definitely a guy that you want to look at to receive those throws from Cam Newton. Jonathan Stewart looks like he's back. And, of course, Olsen. Greg Olsen's their number one receiving target, has been for years. So this is definitely a QB tight end one. Runs and catches the ball like a wide receiver at time with a bigger body, kind of like Gronk. And if it wasn't for Gronk, Olsen might be the number one tight end in the league. So there's a couple people that you could play in this game. Not sure it's going to be the highest scoring fantasy game, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Carolina, this song comes to mind, Mike, and I hope you can hear this. Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Because to me, Carolina beating Los Angeles 13-10, last year this would have been 47-10, 49-10, 42-7. Carolina's defense, not having Josh Norman, has changed the whole dynamic of this team, and it's affected this team, and it's affected fantasy owners. Now, it's very hard to go against Cam Newton, but he's playing Kansas City, and Kansas City's had a darn good defense. You got to look at it like this. Now, Jacksonville has their woes, but Kansas City did not have their starting quarterback, did not have their starting running back, did not have their backup starting running back in Spencer Ware. Travis Kelce got kicked out of it. He got ejected from the game, and they still were able to hold the Jaguars to 14 points. And Blake Bortles scores the ball even when the team is losing. So I don't know if this is the best game for Cam Newton. It's very hard for me to go against Cam Newton, but if you got Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton, somehow you scored those two, then it's Aaron Rodgers. If you have Jameis Winston, I like his matchup this week better than Cam Newton. So this is a tough one for me. Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen, these are not bad guys to play. To take a look really quickly here at the injury report for Carolina to let you know where everything is at currently right now. There's nobody to worry about as far as offensively. And then on the side of Kansas City, you have Jeremy Maclin is questionable with a groin injury. That's a dangerous, dangerous injury. So you got to make sure you watch that. And Nick Foles, elbow limited at practice. But, you know, when I look at this game, I like Kansas City. Spencer Ware, he cleared protocol. Sharkhandrick West didn't do a bad job, but, you know, not a great job. So I like Spencer Ware in this game because there's no defense. Spencer Ware could go out there and freak out for 100, 150 yards. This is one of those games where he can have some fun. So hopefully he's well enough to get out there and do it. He did clear protocol, though, for the concussions. Travis Kelce, concussion, I should say. I don't want to tell people he got more than one. Travis Kelce, Spencer Ware, I like them both in this game. I like Kansas City's defense and special teams in this game as well. And for Carolina, I'm not going to go against Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin, but I would be wary of going with Cam Newton in this game. Falcons at Eagles, the battle for the nest. What do you have for this one, Mike?
Well, the Falcons are just a machine right now. They seem to be clicking on all cylinders, led by their quarterback, Matt Ryan. You got Devonta Freeman. You know, Tevin Coleman's been dinged up. Devonta Freeman's been able to carry the rock and catch the ball out of the backfield. And, of course, Julio Jones. These are all top-flight guys, and if you have any of them, you want to start them. Tight end, they got the tight end coming on a little bit, Austin Hooper. He might be a desperation play at tight end this week, but the Eagles have been suspect on defense, but not at home. But still, I like Atlanta in this. I think Atlanta's a full package. I don't think Atlanta's a joke. Carson Wentz has been on a slide. He went that long streak without an interception, and now he's lucky to be a low-end QB2 this week. Darren Sproles is the one bright spot. He's going to be getting more opportunities. They're going to still be a split or a timeshare in the backfield, but it looks like Sproles is going to be the guy that's going to get most of the calls. And Zach Ertz, Jordan Matthews, these are guys that they're going to have to throw the ball to, but I'm not terribly excited about either one of them. It doesn't seem that Matthews can catch, and it doesn't seem like Ertz can get the target. So it's a bad combination there. It should be all Falcons in this one in a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, the Falcons are anything that you can do, I can do better. I mean, that's how their offense has been. No matter how many points are scored on the other side, Atlanta takes care of it. They've been doing that throughout the last few seasons, but this season it's really helping out. They're 6-3, 4-1 away from their nest, and I like Matt Ryan in this game. Tevin Coleman still going through injury, so I like Devonta Freeman, Julio Jones, obviously. Austin Hooper, not a bad play for you. And Jacob Tammy is injured. So I would say Devonta Freeman, Austin Hooper, as well as Julio Jones and Matt Ryan on the side of the Atlanta Falcons. For the Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz, I would steer away from. He's been a bust. If you have to put somebody out there, if you have a bunch of guys that are off, like the bye week this week is the Bills, the Lions, the Colts, and the Raiders. So if you have Derek Carr and Carson Wentz or Andrew Luck and Carson Wentz, then, you know, maybe it's not a terrible play for you. I just don't lean on Carson Wentz the way that I would tell you to maybe a few weeks ago. Darren Sproles, not a bad play in this game as well. And Zach Ertz has had his moments. Jordan Matthews has had his moments. But these are guys that I would put in my flex position, or they'd be my low-end tight end or low-end wide receiver just because they're not consistent. And that's how I look at it. I really, really like Atlanta. And if you have an Atlanta Falcon, you got to be really happy. I have Devontae Freeman. I wish I had, you know, maybe somebody else too, but not bad to have Devontae. Rams at Jets in the battle for whose offense cannot move the ball more. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, hopefully you're not dependent on this game to win this week, but there are a few bright spots. Todd Gurley's been coming on a little bit as of late, but he's not the guy everybody expected. And, you know, you got to wonder with Case Keenum's horrible play at quarterback when they are going to bring on Goff. There's, you know, rumor that they're going to wait until they're eliminated from playoff contention. I think they're kind of there now if you look at the way they're playing. It's just academic at this point. Tavon Austin can't seem to get him the ball like they were trying to. Kenny Britt looks like their guy that they want to try to get the ball to. So does Lance Kendricks at tight end. But you can't count on these guys. Kendricks dropped an easy touchdown last week. So hopefully you're not depending on anybody on the Rams. On the Jets, you could depend on Matt Forte, though, and Brandon Marshall. These are guys that are going to continue to put up their numbers. These guys are fierce on the field. I do have Brandon as a high-end wide receiver two this week, and Matt Forte is a mid-range running back one this week.
Yeah, for this game, Todd Gurley, you want to watch his thigh injury. He did not participate in practice in one of the recent practices, so we do want to watch that. Todd Gurley hasn't been himself this season, which is really sad because I thought getting Todd Gurley was a huge bonus, and if I was in one of the top three picks, I was going after Gurley if he was out there, and it's let me down this season. Brandon Marshall is questionable with his foot injury. Fitzpatrick is questionable with a knee injury. He was limited at practice on Thursday, and so is Brandon Marshall. And outside of that, there's really nobody to note for this game as far as the injury report. But, yeah, you know, Mike brought up a good point. Los Angeles Rams, Case Keenum, 27-46. I mean, you look at the way that he's played and you say, okay, if you're fighting to get the number one pick for next year, I mean, you got to fight Cleveland. But Los Angeles is just not looking good. They're not moving the ball on offense. Lance Kendricks is not bad, but you have to have hands you can trust. Kenny Britt is someone that I would consider because they're playing the Jets. I would consider Lance Kendricks because they're playing the Jets. I would consider Todd Gurley if he's good to go because they're playing the Jets. If they were playing somebody else, we'd be having a different conversation. As far as the New York Jets go, on their side of things, Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's playing the Rams, potentially not bad, like a QB3 in my opinion. Matt Forte, I do like Matt Forte in this game, and Brandon Marshall, as long as Brandon's okay. And Quincy Enunwa, who has had some good moments this season, was quiet in the game against the Miami Dolphins, but he's playing the Rams now, so he might step his game up. So I like those players as well. And this Fantasy Football Friday, proudly presented by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York, right next to Clinton Square. It's downtown, but it's far enough outside of the heart of downtown in the sense of you can have plenty of places to park. So there's plenty of parking spots, plenty of opportunity to go and watch the game, plenty of seats, huge booths, and every single NFL game every single weekend. And not just that, but they have the package for numerous sports. So you can go into Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, get drink specials, food specials, wings, pizza, beer, sit down, enjoy, watch some DirecTV, and have yourself a phenomenal time, whatever day of the week it is, and definitely this weekend and every weekend of the NFL. Broncos at the Saints. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, I think we're going to see some surprises in this game, and I think the biggest surprise is going to be Trevor Siemian. You know, they've been down on him a little bit, but he's not a bad quarterback. Devontae Booker's looked great all year. He's come on strong and done just what I thought he would. But the first game as a start, he kind of choked up a little bit. So that opened up the opportunity. Dupree Bibbs was kind of ineffective, although the coach says he's going to give him some more touches because of his burst and ability to break it loose. But the real charm here and the real money and the real value on the Broncos is with the receivers and Demaryius Thomas and Sanders. Both of these guys, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver ones, if you happen to have them both, and that is possible, I don't know why you would do that, but you know, these are two guys you definitely want to play. On the other side of the ball, the Saints, Drew Brees has been electric so far this year. He's played well, surprisingly, on the road as well. This is a home game, and he just doesn't lose at home, and he's an effective quarterback, and he's got a ton of weapons. This is a guy that's got Hall of Fame written all over him, so you definitely want to roll out Drew Brees. Mark Ingram looks like he's going to be getting the share of the touches back again, the bigger share, that is. Once he had the fumbling problems, Hightower went in there and exploded. Then Ingram came back and exploded again. But Hightower's not a bad play either. So this is a dynamic Saints offense now that is dangerous because they can run the ball. That's going to open things up even more for Brandon Cooks or Michael Thomas or Kobe Fleener. I think you can start any of those guys. So if you have some Saints, you can start them in this game, even though they're playing the Broncos. And if you have the receivers for the Broncos, you want to play them because they're going to have to keep up with the Saints.
Yeah, you know, and when you look at the, I mean, the Broncos defense is a fun defense to watch and an exciting defense. But I think that there's going to be some offensive scoring in this game by both teams, as Mike was talking about. I like Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints. Mark Ingram, 158 yards in their last game. Huge. Tim Hightower had a touchdown, too. So Tim Hightower, flex position, maybe a running back, too. If you got Ingram and Hightower, good for you, because that was definitely a possibility in fantasy football drafts, because people forgot about Tim Hightower, who is a former Cardinals running back when he was the number one guy. So Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower. Michael Thomas has come on as of late. Brandon Cooks, Kobe Fleener. I'm hoping for you, buddy. Let's bring it back. I have Kobe Fleener in one of my teams, and he was doing some good things. So maybe this isn't the game, but maybe it is. So I don't want to bet against Kobe Fleener, but there's a lot of New Orleans Saints I would play, which I gave to you. Trevor Siemian, because New Orleans doesn't really have a lot of defense. You know, I think Trevor might have himself a fun time out there in this one. Devontae Booker, not a bad play in this as well because of the defensive woes of the New Orleans Saints. And outside of that, you know, there's Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who are guys that you really don't want to bet against. Then Jordan Norwood and Capri Bibbs, they both scored, and everybody's like, who's Capri Bibbs? But they're players to watch if it's really, really deep and you need somebody last minute, someone's doubtful, injury reserve, out for the season. You look to the Broncos wide receivers because these guys are playing the Saints. But I do like the usual suspects of the Denver Broncos. And, of course, the New Orleans Saints are like Atlanta. When you got them, you play them. And in this game, you do that. Running through here, Texans, Jaguars. I will be on site at this game as the Jaguars try to get back on to some type of positive moment in a season that's letting a lot of people down. A lot of people thought, even those that weren't Jaguar fans or made fun of the Jaguars for the last few years, they thought this year would be a turnaround. Hasn't happened yet. Texans at Jaguars. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Oddly enough, been like the third or fourth most effective points for fantasy for quarterbacks in the past 3 or 4 weeks. If you look at that, that doesn't translate on the field very well because a lot of that's garbage time, but that's okay because garbage time counts, and it counts big in fantasy football. So if you have Blake and need to roll him out there as a QB2, go ahead, but you know, hopefully you have better options, because the only quarterback that I can think of that might be worse than Blake in reality in a real football game is Brock Osweiler. And the Texans are going to be in trouble with this quarterback situation and with their contract with him, and they're inking up long term. The good news is they have some guys around Brock that can play. Lamar Miller, he's definitely a top play. Nuke Hopkins, definitely a top play this week as well. And oddly enough, C.J. Bedorowicz, the tight end. This is a guy you want to play too. The Jags are known to give up, of course, the tight end. And if Brock is going to throw it to somebody in the red zone, it's probably going to be a tight end. Back on the other side of the ball, supporting Blake Bortles. Chris Ivory's been coming on stronger lately, but it's kind of like I heard a lot of people talking about the election recently, the lesser of two evils. Well, it's the same thing here. Which running back is going to be the lesser of two evils? Because neither one of them has really done anything. But if I had to put my money on one, I would say Chris Ivory's your guy. AR and AH, the Allen brothers, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. Allen Robinson, surprisingly, might be the play this week. I know you're thinking, what are you saying, Mike? But this is a guy who could be a sneaky play. He's definitely got wide receiver one all over him on a consistent basis. It just hasn't happened. And I blame that all on the offensive coordinator and Blake Bortles. Well, they got a new offensive coordinator. And, well, you know what? It looks like Blake Bortles is starting to come back around, too. So if you're going to make a bet on a receiver, that's the guy to bet on, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, you know, in this game, Allen Hurns coming off of a concussion, I'd lean away from him, which is hard for me to say, but, you know, a concussion's a concussion, and you don't want to mess with those. Allen Robinson in this game, because they're playing Houston, he's not a bad play for you. Julius Thomas is not a bad play for you in this game as well. Chris Ivory is not a bad play for you. Blake Bortles, depending on how the game goes, is not a bad play for you, but I would say Julius Thomas, Allen Robinson, ahead of that. Chris Ivory ahead of that. And then for Houston, this is in reality how Jacksonville could win a game. They're going up against Brock Osweiler. There's injuries on Houston with Lamar Miller and Will Fuller, so you got to watch those. But DeAndre Hopkins, CJ Fedorowicz, those are two that I'll agree with Mike. Braxton Miller, I'd say that one too, just because of the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars are known to give up a lot. And you can never underestimate the fifth string or seventh string wide receiver going up against the Jaguars, because they seem to find a way to score points. So if you have a Houston wide receiver, they're worth the play if they're healthy. And then on the side of the Jacksonville Jaguars, like I said, I like Julius Thomas against the Houston Texans defense as a big body tight end. I like Allen Robinson because he's playing at home. I like Chris Ivory because he's coming off a pretty good game. TJ Yeldon's been very, very disappointing and a big letdown. And Blake Bortles, it depends on where they are in the fourth quarter, but do you want to chance that and roll the dice? I don't think so this week. Dolphins at Chargers, what do you have for this?
Well, this should be a good game for Phillip Rivers. He's definitely a guy you want to roll out there. He's got a favorable schedule, and he's another one of those guys you want to target on the trade look here, with the trade deadline being up in a lot of leagues. But at the same time, Melvin Gordon's the guy that's been getting it done there. Melvin Gordon's definitely a stud running back. He's definitely, you know, that work he did in the offseason with Adrian Peterson down in Houston's really coming to show. Looks like Hunter Henry's banged up. Antonio Gates is going to be the guy you're going to want to look at. He's definitely a tight end one this week. Dolphins, I don't think they're going to travel or play well, but they got Jay Ajayi, who's been running the ball fiercely lately, and they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. So Tannehill's going to have to throw it to Landry. Landry seems to be the guy getting all the targets and all the points.
Yeah, when I look at it in this game, obviously I expect offenses to score, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it was 17-13 or 13-10, one of those types of games. Jay Ajayi is somebody that you have to put out there. He's somebody that you have to give an opportunity to, because he's been performing at a very high level and finally coming on for people. I like Jarvis Landry in this game. I like Jay Ajayi in this game. And on the other side of it for the Chargers, I like Phillip Rivers because he's playing against a defense that isn't really there. I like Melvin Gordon in this game as well. And, you know, Antonio Gates, not a bad play for you if you want to put him out there to make a quick check at the injury report to see if there's anything of note here to let you all know. As far as Deion Sims is questionable with a concussion, Kenny Stills is questionable with a calf injury, Jarvis Landry is questionable with his shoulder injury, and then as far as San Diego goes, Hunter Henry is a limited participant with his knee injury. If he's good to go, he's not a bad play, but I may give him another week. And then Travis Benjamin did not practice on Thursday, so I'd stay away from him, but I'd stay away from him in general. So just to sum it up once again, Melvin Gordon, Antonio Gates, not bad on one, and Phillip Rivers on one side, Jay Ajayi and Jarvis Landry on the other side. We got four games to go in the last few minutes here of Fantasy Football Friday, so let's make it happen. Cowboys Steelers rematch of what the old Super Bowls used to look like. What do you have for this one?
Well, I think if you have players on these teams, you're probably doing well this year, because every one of these players is a must play this week. On the Cowboys side, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, these are all top guys. Dez Bryant may be more so a wide receiver too this week, but all these other guys are number ones in their positions. And the Steelers, you know, Roethlisberger looked bad last week, but that was the first week, and he pushed to come back early from the injury. I think he's going to be a lot better this week. And Le'Veon Bell and A.B. Antonio Brown, if you have those guys, those are definitely elite guys you want to have starting this week. This is going to be a high-scoring game, a lot of fantasy points.
Absolutely. You know, and in this game, I don't want to hear any more about who should start in for the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones has been stupid in the past, but let's hope that he's not as dumb as he may appear to be from the outside looking in. He let Dak Prescott go multiple rounds without picking him up and somehow still got him. So let's just appreciate that for a moment if you're a Cowboys fan. Play Dak Prescott, play Ezekiel Elliott, Jason Witten, Cole Beasley. I like Cole Beasley as a flex guy. Dez Bryant as well. Bryce Butler, Terrence Williams, those could be guys that are good for touchdowns, not necessarily good for yardage. And then for Big Ben on the other side of this thing, and Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams had a score recently. Eli Rogers came back and had success. Antonio Brown. So, like Mike said, if you got him, play him. Next up, 49ers at Cardinals. What do you have for this one?
Yeah, I think the 49ers are just a wreck. I think if you still have any 49ers on your team, you may want to get rid of them because it doesn't look like it's getting any better. And this is going to be a horrible week, I think. The Cardinals should roll up on the 49ers because they're not playing defense either. But David Johnson is arguably the best player in the league right now, and he's definitely a start for you. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, he's definitely a start. Carson Palmer is definitely a start. And look out for J.J. Nelson. This is a guy who they're going to insert in the starting rotation, and he should pick up some points too. So if for some reason he's still available, that's the guy you want to pick up. But San Fran's a wreck. Arizona should roll big in this one.
Absolutely. And to take a look at the injury report to see anything of merit for the Arizona Cardinals that you need to know. John Brown, hamstring, practice on a limited basis on Thursday. Fitzgerald was limited on Wednesday. Fitzgerald was limited on Wednesday as well with his ankle injury. And as far as the San Francisco 49ers go, they don't have offense, but these players claim to play that. So Carlos Hyde, running back, questionable, limited basis, practicing with a shoulder injury. He's in a good direction, and there's a good chance he'll be out there, is the verbiage that's being used right now. I don't like anybody on San Francisco as far as putting out there to play in this game. I just don't. Arizona, Carson Palmer, yes. David Johnson, yes. Larry Fitzgerald, yes. John Brown, if he's healthy and good to go. J.J. Nelson, most recently, he's had a good time. So he's not bad to play against a team that won their first game that I thought was a fluke and looks right so far. They're 0-7 since beating the Rams, talking about San Francisco. A couple games ago before we jump out of here, Sunday night, Monday night, Seattle at New England. What do you have for this one?
This should be a fun game to watch, although I think it's going to be a lot of New England. You know, if you have Gronk, this is definitely a game that, actually every week is a week you want to start Gronk. And the way Tom Brady's been playing, every week is a time you want to start Tom Brady as well. LeGarrette Blount's been doing well, but the thing I'm most interested to see on New England side of the ball is Deion Lewis coming back. This is a guy who looked like he was going to be a high-impact player last year. He's coming back from the injury. It's going to greatly affect James White, but I think they're going to ease him back into things. Edelman should be the number one receiver there outside of Gronk. On the other side of the ball, Russell Wilson has been staggered lately, if you ask me. He's not as mobile. He's been stuck in the pocket, and he's got trapped in the pocket. So I think he's got some of these injuries that are catching up to him here. Christian Michael looks like he's been carrying the ball well. They say they're going to be dedicated to getting C.J. Procise a lot more touches this week. And Jimmy Graham's been playing like you expected Jimmy Graham to play when he went to Seattle. He's definitely a top-flight tight end right now. And Doug Baldwin's definitely a top receiver. They're going to have to throw the ball to somebody there in the receiver corps, and it's Doug Baldwin in Seattle.
All right, I'll make this quick so we can get into our last game. New England Patriots, LeGarrette Blount, like him in this one. Tom Brady, obviously. Rob Gronkowski, Martellus Bennett, if he's healthy enough to go. Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan scored the ball. So that's another guy to look at as a flex position, or if you have to get really deep. Julian Edelman, make sure you check the injuries on that side. Russell Wilson, not a big fan of him in fantasy football. He's burned me a lot of times, so I've stayed away. I don't know if I like any running back for Seattle. Thomas Rawls is still out. Jimmy Graham, if he's healthy to go, is really the only one that I would say. I'm kind of slipping away from Seattle in this one. Finally, Monday Night Football, Bengals at the Giants. What do you have?
Oh, it should be a fun game to watch as well. Both quarterbacks should put up some decent numbers, I would think. New York Giants have been having trouble getting it going, though, but the real focus is the two top flight receivers, the elite receivers, one on each team, A.J. Green and ODB, Odell Beckham Jr. If you have these guys, you definitely want to start them. The challenge is the running back situation. It's going to be a lot of committee on both sides, although it's working well for Cincinnati. So Hill and Bernard are both low-end running back twos, and you got Rashad Jennings, and Paul Perkins is coming on. If you don't have Paul Perkins on your team yet, you better get him because this guy's coming on strong.
Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, Eli Manning, I like them all in this. Paul Perkins, somebody to consider as a flex or an RB2. Andy Dalton on the other side. Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard both scored recently, so that's not bad to have. A.J. Green as well. Tyler Eifert, not a bad player. Mike, as always, I appreciate all your time. FantasyFootball.com. Check Mike out on there. God bless, Mike, and I'll be down in Florida soon. I'll see you. I'll hopefully see you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Sam.
Take care. And I want to put a special thanks out in the morning menu, probably presented by the Market Diner, to all my guests that were on today's show. Very quickly, everybody that was a part of the show, Mike Sofka for Fantasy Football Friday, as well as SMU Mustangs head football coach Chad Morris, Syracuse football head coach Dino Babers, wide receiver Amba Adetawo, cornerback Christopher Frederick, as well as tight end Cam McPherson for basketball, Lemoyne head coach for men's basketball Pat Beeline, Syracuse's assistant coach Adrian Autry, graduate transfer guard slash forward Andrew White III, and sophomore forward slash center Tyler Lydon. I want to thank everybody that listened into the show. Be good to each other. God bless. I'll be at the Dome tonight. Follow me at CallDT on Twitter, facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. You're amazing. Be good to one another. No hate on social media. God bless. Be well. No hate anywhere. Just love. I'll talk to you soon.